الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداء إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حسنوا أموالكم بالزكاة وداووا مرضاكم بالصدقة واستقبلوا أمواج البلاء بالدعاء والتضرع أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, perhaps one of the most common lines that we might hear from time to time. Sometimes we might hear ourselves saying it, is that I have a problem. This is a very common line, something that we might have said many times, and we hear from others many times. And indeed, dunya is darul imtihan, darul ibtila. Allah Ta'ala has made dunya a place of test, place of trial. This is spelt out in the Quran Sharif, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ashaddu an-nasi bala'an al-anbiya thumma al-amsal fal-amsal. The people who are tested most are those who are closest to Allah Ta'ala, the anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, and then those who are next in rank, and then those who are closest to them in rank. So dunya is a place of test, it's a place of imtihan. And as a result, from time to time, we might have also said this, that I have a problem. And we hear this from others also. But while this place is a place of imtihan and test and trial, but Allah Ta'ala has not given us the support that we need and the solution that we require in every problem. A parent who has some kind of compassion, let alone a very great deal of compassion, parent who has a little bit of kindness, little bit of compassion also, if he sends his child out into some foreign place and it's going to be a lot of challenging situations, etc., but he assures him, don't worry, you have our full support. You go there, you work there, or study there, whatever it is, but in the interim, you have our full support, whatever backup you need. But despite, let alone that parent who has a little bit of compassion, that parent who has 200% compassion and kindness, and he's prepared to do anything and everything, but all his backup and support also is very limited. There are times when he says, I don't know what to do. There are times when that parent also says, I'm helpless. I can't do anything for you. Depending on what the situation might be, many a times that becomes a response of a parent also. But Allah Ta'ala is the creator and the sustainer. Any parent is also muhtaj. He's totally in need. And anyone and everyone in this dunya, no matter how powerful he might be, no matter how influential he might be, no matter what contacts he might have, but everyone and every single person is muhtaj. He's totally dependent. And the only being independent is Allah. Allah alone is Al-Ghani, totally independent of anyone and everyone. And Allah Ta'ala is the creator, the sustainer, the nourisher. Allah Ta'ala sent us into dunya. Allah Ta'ala placed us in this darul imtihan and ibtila, this place of trial and test. But Allah Ta'ala provided us the means to come out of every difficulty. Allah Ta'ala provided us the support, the solution to every problem. The primary solution to every problem Allah Ta'ala has spelled out in the Quran Sharif, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. The one who adopts taqwa, and this is the comprehensive solution to everything. The one who adopts taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will grant him a solution out of every problem, and grant him rizq and sustenance from sources he cannot imagine. This is the primary aspect. Anything and everything then will build upon this. Minus taqwa from the equation, then we are trying to build on quicksand. If a person wants to build a building, then he has to build a foundation first. And depending on how strong that foundation is, how deep that foundation is, that how high that building can then be erected upon it. Take the foundation out, he can't even build a little shack on it also. That shack also will collapse someday. So the first thing and the most important thing is the foundation. Allah Ta'ala has spelt out the foundation, that the foundation is taqwa. Taqwa is total obedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That whatever Allah Ta'ala has commanded that this should be done, that the person is submitting to it. 5 times salah has to be performed, he's performing his 5 times salah. Zakat has to be discharged, he's giving his zakat correctly. He has to fast in the month of Ramadan, he's fasting. If Hajj is compulsory upon him, he's doing it. And likewise, refraining from what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. That is an equal obligation. Just as it is compulsory to perform salah, it is compulsory to refrain from interest. Equally compulsory. In a different wording, it's called haram. But change the wording around, it's compulsory to refrain from it. Just as it's compulsory to fast in the month of Ramadan, it's compulsory to refrain from gambling, from looking at haram, from indulging in all the other vices. So this is what taqwa is all about, doing what Allah Ta'ala has commanded, and at the same time refraining from what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. Then this has now brought about taqwa in a person's life. And a person says, but I'm insan and I'm weak. The person who has slipped up, he's made a mistake, but then without any delay, he sincerely repents, shed tears of remorse and regret, cries to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, begs Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, not just something passing in the wind, some lip service, but genuinely, truly from the depth of his heart, begs Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness and resolves not to commit that same wrong in the future. Then Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness comes and his taqwa is still intact. Now this solution, we're looking to all the problems that we have, looking for a solution to those problems. But this is the first step to that solution. And Allah Ta'ala has kept the solution to everything in taqwa. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Then together with this, Allah Ta'ala has provided tremendous support to this banda of his. Now, any person who has an issue, the first thing he's looking for is some contact. Depending how major the issue is, he's looking for such greater contacts. He's looking for such influential people. He's looking for somebody who's got maybe somebody in a high position on speed dial. So now he's trying to see how this person can now contact somebody for me. Allah Ta'ala says you need no other contact. In reality, you need to contact Allah Ta'ala. If a person has contacted Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will put all the other things in place for him. And Allah Ta'ala granted us that speed dial of dua, that speed dial which never ever comes with a response of engaged, that speed dial which never ever comes with a response of not available. Allah Ta'ala has provided us the speed dial of dua. Now this is that aspect that we have to think about and ponder over, that in all the issues we have, all the difficulties that we face, all the challenges that we have over upon us and in front of us, and whatever other things we complain about and cry about, but how much have we turned to Allah Ta'ala in dua? We've spent hours sometimes in meetings trying to sort the issues out. We've spent many, many moments and minutes and hours talking to people on the phone to try and tell them, please do this for me or sort that out for me, or what can you do to help me? And we've traveled many, many kilometers and hours sometimes to try to meet somebody to try and get him to help us in our situation. But how much of time we've taken, now if you add all this up, it sometimes in a month will add up to maybe a couple of days. All that hours put together will add up to a couple of days in a month. Maybe 2-3 days of time. 50, 60, 70 hours we might have spent in all the meetings to solve our problems, and in all the discussions, and in all the phone calls, and in the traveling time, and in the complaining to people also. If we add that into the equation, then it will come up to maybe sometimes many, many days of time in every month. But how many minutes have we spent in earnest dua, contacting and building our link with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in whose control is the solution to every problem? So that we have not done. Illa mashallah, or hardly a bit. After salah, perhaps we'll raise our hands, but we don't even know where our mind is, where our heart is. We heard the Imam Sahib saying, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, so we automatically said Ameen. And then when we heard him saying, Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahimin, we also just turned our hands on our face. But what happened in between, we don't know nothing. That is not the dua that's going to open the doors of rahmat for us. Everyone has a complaint, we have complaints of every sort, we have problems, we have challenges. Sometimes it's a financial matter, it's some illness, it's some problem with the, maybe somebody is complaining about their spouse, somebody about their child, somebody even about their parent, somebody about some financial matter. Everyone has some issue or the other. But how much have we turned to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala in the Quran Sharif says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانُ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That when my servant asks about me, in the initial days, somebody came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is Allah ta'ala close? We should whisper to him. Is he very close? Is Allah ta'ala distant away? Must we shout out to him? Allah ta'ala responded, when my servant asks about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ, I'm very close. And I hear and answer the call of the one who calls unto me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, they should respond to me. Allah ta'ala is saying, I'm asking them to call now. أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, call unto me, I will answer your call. So فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, they should respond to me. Allah ta'ala has called upon us to adopt taqwa. We should respond to that. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, Allah ta'ala says, have total faith in me. No faith in anybody else. Nobody can do anything. No person on any position is capable of doing anything. Nobody with any expertise, medical or any other expertise, can do anything. We will adopt all these means. We'll adopt the means that Allah Ta'ala has made permissible. But Allah Ta'ala says, "Well, yu'minu bi." That faith in Allah alone, conviction in Allah alone, the means can't do anything. Allah alone does. This is the need of the moment, to turn our attention to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now we want that solution to our problems. Allah ta'ala has given us that solution in the Quran Sharif. Foundation of taqwa. The month of Ramadan is approaching. The whole month of Ramadan, the theme is taqwa. But that taqwa will be achieved in Ramadan if the preparation started now. Otherwise the month of Ramadan will come and go also, and a person will think now, well, okay, I think I did something, I don't know what I did. But the month of Ramadan also, the sins didn't stop, and the person's phone didn't stop, and those sites that he was visiting didn't stop, and the haram chatting didn't stop, and all the other evils carried on, and he performed his tarawih, he kept his fast and felt, well, I did my duty to Ramadan. But how much taqwa was achieved? If the effort to achieve taqwa and inculcate taqwa doesn't start now. From the month of Rajab, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he conditioned our minds. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajabi wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Upon the sighting of the moon of Rajab, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited this dua. Allah grant us barakat in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban and enable us to reach Ramadan, making us conscious that the preparation for Ramadan must start now. Tawbah, sincere tawbah, istighfar, and inculcating the habit of dua from now. Otherwise the very precious moments of Ramadan will come and go, and we will have barely made some customary dua. Yes, some customary dua. But trying to wake up in the late part of the night and beseeching Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is what is required. In the private moments, in our own solitude, turning our hands towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our begging bowl that Allah ta'ala has given us ready. We don't have to go and fetch it from anywhere. My banda will need to beg me sometimes at any time, in any place. So his begging bowl is with him. All he does is put his two hands together and his begging bowl is ready. He doesn't have to go fetch it anywhere. And when he goes to sleep, he doesn't go to leave it anywhere. His begging bowl is with him all the time. But we are raising it to others. We are raising it to the makhluk. One person came to one governor centuries ago. He came to one governor to ask for something, some help. So he happened to be sent into that place where the governor used to be attending to people. So it was probably his free time or something. So when he got there, coincidentally the governor at that time was engaged in salah. And he was in sajda. And he was making dua to Allah Ta'ala and begging for his own needs. Now this person saw this and he overheard this governor is also making dua and he's asking Allah Ta'ala. It struck his heart that if he's asking Allah Ta'ala, he's also in need. So why should I ask him? Why don't I also ask Allah Ta'ala alone? But now he spoke out aloud because this struck him and in that moment he exclaimed this. Why should I ask him then? Let me also ask Allah Ta'ala. And saying this, he turned and left. But this governor in Sajda overheard him. So when he completed his salah, he asked the people who had come in, send him, call him, bring him back. So they went and found him, and they brought him back. They brought him back, so he gave him 10,000, whatever currency of that time, dirhams. He gave him 10,000 dirhams. And he said to him, that the same being who I was asking, and the same being who you decided to turn to, he gave you this. Allah Ta'ala put it in my heart to give it to you. Allah Ta'ala gave you. I didn't give you. Now this is that need that we turn our attention earnestly to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. All these things that are around us, everything comes and goes, but we have not turned to Allah Ta'ala. We haven't turned our attention to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala is exhorting us. Now this is what we need to reflect on. How much have I turned to Allah Ta'ala? I've spoken to so many people, and I've done so many things, and I've made so many efforts. How many minutes have I spent asking Allah Ta'ala? Not just in some parrot fashion way. First, we definitely should make dua by reciting the du'as of the Quran Sharif, some du'as from the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then in our own words, what we understand best, begging Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and making a habit of this, and creating this environment of dua in our homes, that everybody must turn to Allah Ta'ala. Any need, turn first to Allah Ta'ala. In the Hadith Sharif, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives us this lesson very, very clearly, that we turn to Allah Ta'ala first, in any situation. And the main means that we adopt are the means that connect us first to Allah Ta'ala. Then the material means. Then any other means that Allah Ta'ala has made permissible. But not before having turned to Allah Ta'ala. In the Hadith Sharif, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, حَسِّنُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بِالزَّكَاةِ. That you want to protect your wealth before you put all the other protections in place and whatever other systems you want to put in place. Whatever is within the limits of Sharia, no problem. Adopt it. Don't leave things lying around. Take care of it. But first, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, take care of your wealth, protect it by ensuring that you have discharged your zakat correctly. That is the biggest protection of your wealth. You want to protect your wealth? Step one, discharge your zakat correctly. Calculate it properly and discharge it to those who are truly deserving of it, the correct recipients. Then that zakat has been discharged. Not any haphazard just calculation of any sort, not sure whether this is really the correct calculation, not even aware that there must be a zakat date. And on that specific date, the liability of zakat has to be calculated. Now just any time at random, any part of the year, well, Ramadan has come, so sometimes it was the first of Ramadan and sometimes the middle of Ramadan. Whereas the actual liability of zakat can fluctuate tremendously from day to day. And now the person just randomly just calculated on some day, as a result he ended up short paying because of the miscalculation. He didn't even have that knowledge that there's supposed to be a specific zakat date according to the lunar year. And every year, as long as that nisab didn't come to zero, he'll have to calculate on that specific date particularly, not any other date. Then whenever he's discharged is a different matter. But the calculation will happen on that specific date. So now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, protect your wealth with zakat. وَدَعُوا مَرْضَاكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. Treat your ill, your patients with sadaqah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, not permissible to adopt medication. He himself adopted medication. To make this a means for the ummah to learn that this is sunnah, you may adopt it. Do so. But step one, turn to Allah Ta'ala. Turn to Allah Ta'ala, give sadaqah for Allah Ta'ala alone. دَعُوا مَرْضَاكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. وَاسْتَقْبِلُوا أَمْوَاجَ الْبَلَاءِ بِالدُّعَاءِ وَالتَّضَرُّعِ. And prepare for the waves of challenges. You are all the time being given all kinds of warnings and being frightened with all kinds of waves, stories of waves and first wave and second wave and third wave and Allah knows best how many waves. On that point of waves, you must also think carefully, if I have created an ocean of sins, then I have created the waves of difficulties also. And collectively, if we have put forward an ocean of sins, and all the various vices that the Ummah has been bringing out of their lives all the time, gambling, zina, interest, zulm and oppression upon the servants of Allah Ta'ala in various levels and ways, and lying and cheating and fraud, and abandoning salah, and zina of the eyes, and the haram chatting, and Allah knows best what not, and the pride and the arrogance and the malice and jealousy, and all the sins of the heart. Now we have put forward an ocean of sins, then are we surprised if there's waves of challenges and difficulties then? So the first foundation, as we discussed right at the beginning, we want solution to our problems, is taqwa. The sins must stop. The interest must be forsaken. The gambling and zina must stop. The haram and illicit contacts must stop. And the zulm and oppression must stop. And the commands of Allah Ta'ala must be brought alive. That's the foundation. And then together with that, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, وَاسْتَقْبِلُوا أَمْوَاجَ الْبَلَىٰ, that these waves of challenges then come, you prepare for it بِالدُّعَاءِ وَالتَّدَرُّ, with dua and with humility in front of Allah Ta'ala. Become a humble slave of Allah Ta'ala. And beseech Him in all humility. Not in a kind of, well, by the way, manner, and well, I don't necessarily need to do this, but well, I just have to now do it for the sake of doing it. Then we are showing a level of independence from Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah. What can we expect? Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with countless bounties without us asking anything. Allah Ta'ala blessed us with all our physical ni'mats. Did we ask Him for our eyes? Did we ask Him for our ears? Did we ask Him for this tongue we speak with all the whole day? Did we ask Him for these hands and legs? And again, together with not having asked anything, did we deserve any of this? We didn't deserve anything. But Allah Ta'ala blessed us with these countless ni'mats, though we didn't ask it and neither did we deserve it. Now over and above that, we still want something more, but we don't want to ask Him also. And then we have some issues and challenges, but we don't want to ask Allah Ta'ala. So dua has become a very prominent part of a mu'min's life. Not a by the way thing. Not something as an afterthought. Must become a part of his life. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned du'as of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Those whose speed dial was all the time not even necessary because they were totally in contact 24/7. Speed dial is for the person who still needs to build a contact. But somebody whose line is all the time connected, what speed dial he needs? The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were continuously connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But yet Allah Ta'ala mentions so many du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salam in the Quran Sharif. What is this for? Is to give us this message and lesson. That look at these servants of mine. They were so close to me. They were people who were accepted in my court. Of the highest level of acceptance. But yet they did not shirk in du'a. Rather they made so much of du'a that one cannot even fathom how much du'a they made. So these were such beloved servants of Allah Ta'ala to him. And they were so close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, accepted in his court, sinless and masoom. But yet they exerted themselves in dua so much. And they made dua of every kind of dua that we can think what we should be asking for. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam made these duas. Any good action they did, such a great action like building the Kaaba Sharif, Hazrat Ibrahim and Ismail salatu wasalam, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta sami'ul alim. Giving us this message, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning this in the Quran Sharif. They did such an accepted amal, but they didn't feel that they did anything that was worthy of acceptance. They're begging Allah Ta'ala, Allah is not worthy of, our effort is not worthy of acceptance. Allah, out of your grace you accept it. Rabbana taqabbal minna. We are being taught in the Quran Sharif, people are complaining, somebody, some spouse is complaining about, the husband is complaining about the wife, and wife is complaining about the husband. And somebody is complaining about the child. But have we made dua, the dua which Allah Ta'ala gave us in the Quran Sharif? The dua that a person should be making all the time. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين. Allah bless us with spouses, with offspring who are the coolness of our eyes. We complained about it to everybody, but did we make dua? We didn't make dua yet. And now we want the solution. It starts off with dua. Whether it is a financial issue, whether it is some other matter, whether it is some emotional problem, whether it's illness, whether it's somebody troubling us, committing zulm upon us, whatever matter it might be, it starts off with dua. And not one time, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, once there was drought, severe drought, so the person in charge of his orchards came, and he said, there's been no rain. In other words, the orchards are all drying up. There's going to be no crops. There's nothing, in fact. So Anas radiallahu an, what he did? He started phoning the agriculturist. He started phoning somebody else. He put his musalla down, made wuzu, put his musalla and started with salah. And then he made dua. And after having made dua, then he called the person. He asked him, can you see any clouds? He said, no, not nothing. He started another two rakats of salah. Who we are talking about? Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, Khadimur Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who spent 10 years in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That proximity and that acceptance, and made another two rakats of salah, made dua again. Can you see any clouds? No, I can't see any clouds. Third time, fourth time, finally says, in the distance I can see something like just the size of a wing of a bird. Carried on again, carried on again. And then he says, now the clouds have really built up. And then it started raining.